Tesvov Teves, Tuesday the 21st of December, Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai Chizik, Moshe Rabbeinu Ish HaElokim.
Good morning, everyone. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, Moshe Rabbeinu was not believed by all the people, by all Klal Yisrael, based on the oisus and the moisim that he did, based on the nisim and the miracles that he did, that he performed. Rather, what he was believed for was Matan Torah. Gam b'choy aminu la'olam, it's a posuk by Ha-Sinai, by Matan Torah, that Hashem says, this is a promise that the Jewish people will always believe in you, Moshe Rabbeinu, based on what we saw at Ha-Sinai, that we saw Hashem talking to him upon him. The Rambam writes that the Yidden actually saw and witnessed Hashem saying to Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lehem kach, go and tell them this. Moshe, lech emor lehem kach, go and tell them that. We heard clearly Hashem talking to us and to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and our whole emunah is based on that rather than all the miracles and oisim that Moshe ever did in Mitzrayim. Rambam says why? Because miracles and oisim, you can doubt. Esh ben doifi, you could say. Maybe it was magic. It's doubtful. What happened at Ha-Sinai is not doubtful, and that's indeed what our emunah today is based on. V'gam v'choy aminu la'olam. This is a promise that which Hashem said before Matan Torah, that based on the event of Ha-Sinai, you will always be believed, Moshe Rabbeinu, for Nevuas Moshe will be kind. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos HaTorah. Asks the Meshech Chochma in Hilakdoma to Parsha Shemos. Says it comes out that after Ha-Sinai, that's it. Moshe is always going to believe. There's a promise. Moshe will be believed, whatever happens. What would be if Chas v'Shalom Moshe changed his mind after Matan Torah and added a halacha or took away a halacha? Then what? Hashem has given a promise by Ha-Sinai that v'gam b'choy aminu la'olam, based on Matan Torah, you will always be believed. What would happen if Moshe, with Chas v'Shalom afterwards, changed something? Miliboy. What's going to be? Says the Meshech Chochma, you have to say the most unbelievable chiddush. And he walks with his chiddush almost b'kol Torah kula. We'll show a few examples of where he says his chiddush. He says, you have to say that after Ha-Sinai, after Hashem gave the Torah and gave this promise that Moshe Rabbeinu, is that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu's heritage to us will be always be Torah Mi-Sinai, after that, Moshe's bechira was taken away. Moshe's bechira was taken away. Hashem took his bechira away like a malach. He almost became like a malach. In that day, he had no bechira. It has to be like that, as a Meshech. It has to be. Because if he had bechira afterwards, a bechira of Bos of Adam, then Hashem couldn't have promised at Har Sinai, at that particular stage in Moshe Rabbeinu's life, could not have promised that Moshe's nevuah will always be kaim, will always be forever true. Because who knows what's going to happen afterwards? It has to be, says the Meshech, the most unbelievable chiddush, that at Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu reached a level of a malach, and above and beyond Bechir, there's no Bechir of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Meshech Chochma says. Where did he get this from? So he goes a bit further. He says, in fact, Matan Torah, even to the Klal Yisrael, we also, at Ha-Sinai itself, at that particular stage, all of Klal Yisrael lost their Bechir. At that particular stage. He says, the famous Gemara Shabbos, the Gemara says, Kof Aleim HaKigigis, Hashem took the mountain and put it over us like a bathtub, in fact, the Gemara says. And Tosafot asked for Shabbos to with us and asked, how can that be? We say, Nasa v'nishma. They didn't accept what they accept it, or they forced upon it. What happened over here? Tosafot, the Shabbos says his answer. The Meshech Chochma says, what happened was, they reached such a level of clarity, such a level of upon him, at that particular event of Ha-Sinai, they saw so clearly, there was no possible room for doubt. Meaning, Hashem forced upon us. It doesn't mean he forced us to accept it. There was no way of saying no. Talking to the King of all kings face to face, you can't say no. So what it means when Hashem forced it upon us means that Klal Yisrael, in fact, everyone of Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai reached a level of beyond Bechira. When you're talking to Hashem face to face, there's just no option of saying no. There's not a question of being forced like a baby to do something. We wanted to say yes, but we didn't have the choice of saying no. It was almost impossible to say no because it was so obvious. So Klal Yisrael, all of us reached that level at Har Sinai. But there's a big difference between Klal Yisrael and between Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is what the Meshech Chochma explains. He says, the tachlis of living in this world is to have bechira. That everyone knows. That's the Yisrael Shorash Avodah. That's if you look at all the Musa Svarim, the purpose of living in this world is to have bechira, to have free will. Without free will, there is no purpose in living on this world. He says the difference between Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu reached a level, and there's another level above Bechira, where he worked on himself so much that he conquered his Bechira. He sort of, so to speak, conquered his Yetzer Hara to the extent that he had no Bechira anymore. That's the level that Moshe reached. Moshe, through his own Omol, and we'll see perhaps soon how he reached that level, Moshe, through his own work and his own dedication, he got to a level where he surpassed Bechira. He was now living like a malach, so to speak. Klal Yisrael didn't get to that stage. We never got to that stage of working on ourselves so much that we have now taken away Bechira from ourselves. But for an event as important as Matan Torah, for an event as important as that, which is historically the most important event in our Yiddishkeit, for that Hashem had to create a situation where for those particular few hours that day, where Klal Yisrael, all of us, were elevated, not through our own effort, not through our own dedication, but just for that particular event, Hashem took us up and brought us to the level of e-bechira, of not having bechira, seeing Hashem very, very clearly, and not having the ability to say no because it's so obvious. He says it's highlighted in the pasuk so clearly, the pasuk of Vayeshev Chana. In Vayeshev Chana, when Moshe recounts, when Moshe just talks about what happened at Har Sinai, he says, "Va'omer aleichem va'esahi," and I said to you at that time, "Shuvu lachem le'ohaleichem." Go back to your tents. Go back to your wives and with Mutter Batashmish afterwards. Go back to Olam Hazeh. What was Moshe Rabbeinu saying to them? He was saying, you've come to a very high level at Har Sinai. You've come to a level of Kedusha, of a Malach at Har Sinai, where you had no Bechira. But now it's time to go back. Now it's time to go back to the regular mundane Olam Hazeh and to go and live your lives, because this level that you've attained now is not something you've attained through your own efforts, rather something which Hashem has felt important to do for the Olam Void. So, Shuv Lachem Lo'alechem is a message to Klal Yisrael to go back and to go down to a level of not being a malach and being a normal human being. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, Va'ato poi amoidi modi, and you shall stay stand with me. What does that mean? That means that Moshe shall stay with Hashem on this level that he got at Matan Torah, to continuously stay on the level of being above Bechira. Because Moshe, the difference between Moshe and Klal Yisrael, to be very clear, is Moshe worked on himself. We'll perhaps see soon how he worked on himself. But he worked on himself to an extent that he grew and overcame Bechira, that he was now like living like a malach. His purpose in this world was no different to a malach. Whereas Klal Yisrael only reached that level at Matan Torah itself, through the kindness of Hashem, in order to be mashrish and to take root emunah inside us very clearly. And afterwards, we came back down to our regular Olam Hazeh. That's the Meshech Chochmah's very, very big chiddush in Parshas Shemos. In his Hakdoma to Parshas Shemos. You can see one or two times through the Torah the Meshech Chochmah goes through this Mahalach. Very, very, very interesting. There's a famous Parsha in Baal Yisrael where Klal Yisrael get a bit disenchanted with the mon. They get a bit fed up of having the mon. And they want to have meat. They want to have meat, they want to have bosom. The Lashon of the Pasuk in Baal Yisrael is His Avu Taiva. They had a taiva to have meat. They didn't want to have, they said, we don't want this mon anymore, we would like to have some meat. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe said, where should I get meat from? Where should I get meat from? Hashem said to Moshe, gather around 70 zakenim, and with that you'll get, the slov came. Very interesting passion, what's going on over here? Says the Meshech Chochmah as follows. He says, the mon was something which didn't come from a dovah chai, didn't come from a live thing, didn't come from animals. So the more bigger thing. The mon came with chus Moshe. The mon, we know, came in the merit of Moshe. When someone eats meat, that gives a person a kecha taiva. Taiva comes from the food that you eat. Not only from the food you eat, particularly from animals. Because that's the animal instinct inside us, and the animal that you eat gives a person taiva, and the Shkocham says that's why there's certain animals you can and certain animals you can't eat, because animal is what gives a person taiva. Mon never gave them any taivas. Mon was just this bland substance, this bland object, which didn't give them any koyecha taiva. They had no taiva to do anything wrong. And the reason why that was because the mon came because Moshe. Moshe lost his taiva. Moshe was a person who had reached the level of a malach. So the mon which came to Chus Moshe had to be something which was over and above taiva. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why the mon came to Chus Moshe. And when Klal Yisrael came to Moshe and said to Moshe, we don't want this mon anymore, Moshe said, me'ayin li bosa, where can I get you meat from? Meat cannot come b'schus me. I am someone who has surpassed that. I've reached beyond that stage. It cannot come in my zechus. Said Moshe, all I can do for you is I can gather around 70 zakenim, and perhaps in the zechus, in the merit of these 70 zakenim, you can perhaps have meat, which represents my. And that's the lashon of the pasuk when the pasuk says his avu taiva. What does avu taiva mean? Says Meshlochma, they had a taiva to have taiva. The reason why they wanted to have meat and not have mon was because they stopped having taivas, and they were almost losing their bechira in a sense, because by eating this mon, it took away their koyach ha-taiva. There was no animal inside them, and they lost it. And they came to Moshe and said, "We want to have taiva." Moshe said, "You can't have it through me. I'm sorry, through me you cannot have taiva. I can provide you with mon. I cannot provide you with meat." And that's why they had to get meat. B'schus the 70s came. Very interesting chapter in the pasuk, which is explained and the depth you can see through the eyes of the Meshech Chochma, who says that Moshe was an Ishur Elikim. Another example of this, very very interesting medrash at the end of Vazeis Abrocha. When Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta, it says the pasuk's made. The pasuk says V'lo yoda ish es kavurosai. No man knew where he was buried. No man knew where he was buried. Says the Medrash Rabbah of Zayis HaBrocha, I think it's a Sifri. The Sifri says, V'yoda Ish, Ish Zeh Moshe. The Torah always refers to Moshe as Ish. Ish Mitzri, Ish Moshe on a Mo'ed. Moshe was known as Ish. V'yoda Ish as Kavrosa means, Moshe doesn't know where he's buried. What does that mean? What does it mean? Moshe doesn't know where he's buried. Interesting possible. That's all the Sifri says. Says the Meshech Chochma, again, according to this Mahalach. He says this. He says, the Gemara Shabbos tells us, Kuf Nun Beis, that the neshama of a person hangs around the Beis HaKvaros, where the guf is, for the first 12 months after the person is nifta. It goes up, it comes down, doesn't necessarily find menucha. The Meshachim explains that although the guf and the neshama are two very different things, very different substances, which come from very different chomrim, different beings, and they don't have the same wants, the neshama and the guf. Nevertheless, because throughout life, the neshama and the guf have been together throughout life, there's this natural connection between the neshama and the guf. There's a natural connection between the soul and the body. They spent so long together. They spent 80, 90, 100 years together. There's a natural connection between the soul and the body. And they want to remain together. They want to remain together. So, even when a person is nifta, and the neshama departs from the body, sometimes if the neshama doesn't find menucha in the Olam HaEmes, straight away the neshama will naturally come back to the body, because that's what it's used to being. That's why the neshama always comes back to the body. Says the Meshech Chochma, Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu lost touch with his physicality when it came to Har Sinai. He became a malach. His guf became an irrelevant, almost an irrelevant detail to him. As soon as Moshe was nifta, his neshama had no kesher to his guf. Because even in his lifetime, he already overcame all his desires, already lost that level of bechira, and already uplifted his neshama to the level of not needing his guf, so to speak. He never ate for 40 days, perish me ishtoi. He was someone who lived a different life. V'lo yoda ishas karosis, says the Meshech Chochma. V'lo yoda means he didn't recognize, he had no connection to. Just like the word v'odom yoda is chavo ishtoi. Yoda can, yodia can mean connection. V'lo yoda ishas karosis mean, and Moshe had no connection to his kvura. Because for Moshe, the Beis HaKvaros where he was buried, where his guf was buried, was something, as soon as his neshama left, was irrelevant. Again, this is the Meshech Chochma going with the Mahalach, that after Har Sinai, Moshe attained a level of ish Elokim. And the Meshech Chochma has a few other examples of this. I'm not going to go into all of them today. The question is, how does one reach such a level? How did Moshe get to such a level that he overcame his Bechira? How did he reach it? So I would have thought, Moshe was Koyach HaTorah, he was Rabban Shel Yisro, he was the big Rebbe, he was a big leader through his Koyach of Hasmoda and learning, being a Yeshiva man, that's how he became. Meshech Chochma says no. And there's another Medrash in Parshas Noach, which he says highlights how Moshe attained this. It's a very interesting medrash in Parshas Noach. Medrash Rabbah says like this: Choviv Moshe mi Noach. Moshe is more dear than Noach, more beloved than Noach. Why? Noach mishe nikro ish tzadik, nikro ish adam. Noach started off with a level of Noach ish tzadik. That's what he was called, ish tzadik. Later on, after the Mabul, he was known as Ish Ho'adamah, a man of the earth. Seems like he became downgraded in his status. That's Noach. Noach started Ish Tzadik and went down to Ishur Adam. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu started off with, says the Medrash, Moshe, however, Mishenikro Ish Mitzri, when he was called an Ish Mitzri, he was called in Midian he was called an Ish Mitzri, Nikro Ish Elokim. Moshe seems to have gone up in status in the Torah. Moshe went up from being an Ish Mitzri to Ish Elokim. Noach seemed to have been downgraded. Pretty interesting Medrash, comparing Moshe to Noach. What's Pshat in this Medrash? Says the Meshech Chochma, in Parshas Noach, different piece, Parshas Noach, again, with the same shtickle. He says as follows. He says, there's two ways to serve Hashem. There's the person who sits in his room and learns, despite this, works on himself, and that's the way he comes close to Hashem. Then you have the people that worry about everyone else. They unfortunately lose time to learn and lose time to study and to grow because they're busy helping other people. Which one would you think, says the Meshech Chochma, would make you closer to Hashem? You would have thought the fellow who sits in his room privately, sits and learns, devotes his time to learning, to davening, he worries about himself, his own aliyah, that person is going to be an Isha Elokim. So the Meshech Chochma mistake. This is the difference between Noach and Moshe. What happened to Noach? Noach was a person who worried about himself. He had his own connection with Hashem. He was Ish Tzadik. When it came to telling off the people of his generation, to making an impact on the people around him, he wasn't very Matzliach with that. Noach wasn't Matzliach with that. And because of that reason, he became downgraded to an Ish Ha'adama. Moshe, on the other hand, what does Ish Mitzri signify? Ish Mitzri signifies when Moshe left, when he left Mitzrayim and he came to Midian. Why did he leave Mitzrayim? Because he helped other Jewish people. He killed a Mitzri, Lomo Sakariecho. Moshe got busy with why he had to flee for his life because he cared about other people. Moshe's ability, Moshe's midah of caring for other people, not his Torah, not his working, his selfish outlook of I have to work and learn myself, none of that. Moshe's midah of caring for other people, of being an Ish Mitzri, a man who cares about other people and had to flee for his life because he helped other people, that eventually got into the status of Ishu Adakim, of a person who got to the level of losing his Bechira and becoming like a Malach. And it's a similar Medrash in the Zoyis HaBrocha. Well, the Medrash of Zoyis HaBrocha goes on the Pasuk at the end of Eish Yischael, where we say, Rabbois Bonois Osu Choyl, Va'at Olis Al Kolona. We say, many daughters of Osu Choyl, and you have been the best one. Says the Medrash Rabbois Zoyis HaBrocha. This refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Hashem's favorite one, At Olis Al Kolona. And the Medrash goes through how Moshe was better than all the other others, David HaMelech, and Noach as well. We find Noach again, another comparison between Moshe and Noach. And the Medrash says that Moshe and Noach had this discussion. Noach said to Moshe, I'm better than you, because I survived the Mabel. There was a Mabel killed the whole world, and I survived the Mabel. I must be better than you, I must be greater than you. He said, Moshe, you're wrong. I'm greater than you, because you saved yourself, only yourself, and I saved everyone. By the Chet HaEgel, Moshe davened to Hashem, and he saved the whole of Klal Yisrael. And says the Medrash, Ataka Moshe Rabbeinu was right. For At Olis Al Kolona, Moshe's middle, what made Moshe stand out above the rest, is the fact that he was the one who saved everyone and put the nation's worries and concerns before his own. You see, it's unbelievable Chiddush. That's not the Torah, and it's not the private Hispoedidus, and the private Aliyah of Noach that gets a person to any sort of level. It's the faket, it's the caring for other people, it's the chesed, it's the oisik b'tzorach etzibu that Moshe Rabbeinu had, the fact that he cared about other people, that led him to become an Ish Elokim. Very interesting, some people say, I've heard this said before, I haven't seen a clear makor on this, and there is the connection between Moshe and Noach goes even a bit further. Very interesting similarities you find in the lifetime of Moshe and Noach. I don't know if you ever thought about this. How many years did Noach build a table for? 120 years. How long did Moshe Rabbeinu live? 120 years. That means, in a sense, what Noach couldn't achieve in that span of building a table, what was the idea of building a table 120 years? So people should learn from what he was doing, and he was trying to give techocha and musa to everyone and say, there's a marvel about to come. He didn't do it in 120 years. Moshe's whole lifespan was 120 years, was that amount of time. In a sense, Moshe was a tikkun for what Noach couldn't achieve to be this big makarav. What Noach couldn't do, Moshe achieved in his lifetime. Again, Noach was saved in a teva with water. Moshe was saved in a little tevas atzei kofa, tevas atzei gut. Also, Moshe was saved in a teva. There's a few other things. Chazal call the mabul Mei Noach, the waters of Noach. Why? Because it was almost Noach's fault. in a sense, to a certain extent, the fact that the marble came was Noach's fault. He didn't manage to make that impression on his nation. So he didn't manage to get people to do tshuva. 120 years he had to get him to tshuva, he couldn't do it. He was called Mei Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to Parsha Kisiso, the Parsha of the Eger, and he davens to Hashem, he says to Hashem, please, be Moichel Yidden, he uses the word Mecheni. The word Mecheni, which means if I don't achieve this, if you're not going to accept my prayer of saving the whole Klal Yisrael, then wipe me out of your Sefer Torah. Because for Moshe it was that important. He put Klal Yisrael before himself. He said, take me out of the Torah if you will not forgive Klal Yisrael. The Oisius Mecheni are the same letters as Mei Noach. Mecheni, the same letters as Mei Noach, which signifies that what Moshe is saying is, if I can't achieve this, if I can't daven for my people, save my people, I'm no better than Noach. There's a very interesting connection between Moshe and between Noach, where you see that Moshe in his lifetime is trying to massacre what Noach couldn't be massacred over 120 years. A similar thing we find, I say it's similar, it's not exactly the same, by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was also known as the big Ish Chesed. If you ask anyone, who was the Rosh Varishon HaMakarovim, who was the one who was Makarov people? Avraham Avinu, he put the worries of the world before his own. That was Avraham Avinu. We find a very interesting Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Noach. Rashi says this, Eile Tolu is Noach, some people say Noach is Tzadik, some people say that Noach wasn't Tzadik, some people say that he wasn't a Tzadik. Depends how you look at it. There's a Rashi there, beginning of Parshas Noach. Rashi says, depends how you look at it. Compared to the generation of Tzadikim, he wouldn't have been a Tzadik. It depends how you look at it. But the words Rashi uses are very, very strange. Rashi says like this. Yes, when I've seen a Doshet was in the Shvach. Some people learn this, the Shvach, to Noach Shvach, that had he been in the Doshet of Tzadikim, he would have been a bigger Tzadik. That means Noach was a Tzadik compared to his generation. Had he been in a generation of other Tzadikim, he would have been even greater. Then Rashi says, and some people say, no, Lignai, that the Fidor Hoya Tzadik, according to his generation, was a Tzadik, Elu Hoya, the Dora Shel Avram, Hoya Nechshav Klum. Had he been the Dora Shel Avram, he would have been anything. Rashi changes from Tzadikim to Avram. In one Pshat, Rashi says, had he been in the generation of Tzadikim, he could have been even better. In the other Pshat, Rashi says, had he been the generation of Avram, he wouldn't have been anything. Avram or Tzadikim, make up your mind. Maran asks a question. I've heard a pshat, it's not a moral pshat, I've heard a pshat, I'm not sure where it comes from, that both things are correct. Noach was your model tzaddik in a generation of tzaddikim. In a generation where no one needs to be any Muslim, where everyone's good and fine and royal, Noach was a good person. In a generation of Avram, where the necessity was kiruv, helping other people, then Noach wasn't anything. Noach was good, as long as everyone else around him was fine, Noach was a good person. He was a good tzaddik, he was a big tzaddik. But the generation of Avram, what does Avram stand for? Avram's middle was publicizing to the world Emunah, publicizing Hashem's name to the world. That type of generation, Noach couldn't have done anything, because Noach wasn't a very good Makarov. So Noach was a good in normal generations, but not the generation of Avram. That's what they say. Now, very interesting Medrash in Parshas Tolos. Says the most unbelievable thing. There's a difference between Tzadikim and Rishoyim. Whenever they talk to themselves, there's a difference between Tzadikim and Rishoyim. I'm not sure if you've heard this message before. A few times in the Torah and Tanakh, you have where people, Vayomer Elibon, Vayomer Alibon, Vayomer Belibon. By Rishoyim, we always find it says, Vayomer Beliboy. For example, by Esau, he said, Vayomer Beliboy. He said, to his heart, in his heart. By Homon, Vayomer Beliboy. He said it in his heart. By Novel, we have the Pasuk. He says, Omar Novel Beliboy, in Tehillim. By Rishoyim, it always says Beliboy. The Medrash points this out. By Tzadikim, it always says El Liboy. Always. Have a look. By the Eibishter, it says, the Eibishter, the beginning of the Parsha Bereishis, Vayomer El Liboy, Hashem said to him, V'chana, V'chana hi medaberes, Al Libo, V'yosem Daniel, Al Liboy. By Tzadikim, it always says to, by Rishoyim, it always says in. What's the difference? So the Medrash Rabbah says this, it's not me. Medrash says the difference is, a tzaddik controls his heart, controls the Yetzer Hara. Rishoyim don't control the Yetzer Hara. A tzaddik, when he talks to his heart, he tells his heart what to do. He doesn't let his heart talk to him. He talks to his heart or on top of his heart. A Rosha talks burning about whatever he thinks, whatever his heart wants, that's what he does. Unbelievable. The man just brings us out. Unbelievable chiluk. There's one place in the Torah that doesn't fit in. One place in the Torah. By Avraham Avinu. By Avraham Avinu, Hashem came to tell him he's going to have a child. In Parshas Vayero, he says, Vayome Avraham Belibo. It's a big kasha. How can it be? The Medrash, every time it says this in the Torah, on Tanakh, brings Belibo, Elibo, the Medrash always brings this chiluk. But Avraham Avinu misses it out, it says, Vayome Belibo. How can it be? So I heard the most fascinating answer. There's Yerushalmi at the end of Brochus that says, Avraham Avinu hipech es yetzahora liyetzatoiv. Avraham Avinu is the only one that changed his yetzahora to yetzatoiv. How do we know this? Because it says, every day in davening, the sum to Shemuel Avraham umotzasa es levovoi nemon lefanecha. Now the word levovcha always refers to the two levovim, the two levavs, yetzahora yetzatoiv. So motzasa es levovoi nemon lefanecha. He found both his hearts, yetzahora and yetzatoiv, both together. They both nemon lefanecha. They were both working with Hashem. Says the Rishami, Avraham Avinu changed his yetzahora to his yetzatoiv. Unbelievable. When did he do this, by the way? So if you look at the pasuk, it says, the son of Shemoy Avraham, he changed his name from Avram to Avraham, and through that, then from at that level, when Avram had his name changed from Avram to Avraham, that's when his yetzahora changed to become a work of the yetzatoiv as well. When was that? That was before him, Avram Beliboy. Avraham, after his name change, had the yetzahora, which was on the same side as the yetzatoiv. So he's taking before Shishani. But Oifan, according to this, Avraham was very safe to talk Bully Boy. He had no problem talking Bully Boy. Because both his name, his Yetzirah, and his Yetzirah all wanted good. Avraham had this power that he suddenly changed his Yetzirah to his Yetzirah. So Avraham was the only one that was safe in doing the Vayomer Bully Boy as opposed to Vayomer Enli Boy. And if you look in the Pesukim, it's unbelievable because Vayomer Bully Boy comes a few Pesukim after Hashem changed his name. Unbelievable. Now, when Hashem changed Avraham's name, why did Hashem change Avraham's name? It says Hashem changed his name because he became an Av Lahamoin Goyim. Avraham stands for Av Lahamoin Goyim. It says Rashi, what does that mean? From now on, till now you benefited just the local population, now you're going to benefit the whole world. Now you're going to do kiruv, you're going to go out there and you're going to shine my light on the whole world. You know, see the connection over here? Avraham and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu reached, we said before, reached a level of a malach, a level of going above and beyond his Bechira. How? Not through his Torah, not through his private avodah, but through putting the needs of the public before his own. That led him to become from Ish Mitzri to Ish Elokim. Not by being this big person who sat and learned, rather by being a person who cared about the people and worried about the klal. Avraham Avinu, the minute his name changed from Avram to Avraham, we find a similar concept that he almost lost his Bechira, in a certain extent. It's a bit different to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe, perhaps, grew above his Bechira, Avram's Yitzhahara changed Yitzhatoiv, but it's a very similar concept in that you find both by Moshe and by Avraham Avinu who shared this similar middah of chesed, but not just chesed, it's worrying for the klal over and above themselves, putting the needs of everyone else above themselves, that led to Avraham Avinu to having his name changed from Avram to Avraham, and after he had his name changed from Avram to Avraham, he now became an Av Lahamoyim Goyim, and through that, his Yitzhahara became changed to a Yitzhatoiv. Now Avraham Avinu is walking around with two Yetzers, both Litova. And after that, Avraham was saved to talk Bully Boy because he was always thinking about Hashem in both his hearts. And Moshe Rabbeinu, to the same degree, also achieved the status of Israel Akim after being someone who put the needs of Klal Yisrael before his own.